18, we're talking about some of the halachos related to achila. This particular halacha actually has a source of information itself. Many of the halachos we mentioned are Hagin, the Chumran. This particular halacha is in Kadal itself. That's the issue of lo yochal ima. So what exactly yochal ima means? Like you said, Rishonim. So Rishonim said it means only be eating literally in the same plate. Or Rishonim said it means even eating in the same table. That's what Aminah is. But Rishonim pointed out that just as we find it was Basel B'cholov, one can make a heker, one can make a little bit of a sign, a little bit of recognition, and thereby alleviate the problem of one person eating meat, one person eating milk at the same table. So too, when it comes to chasnida, you can put down some kind of a heker as well. So in addition to the isser of achila ima, whatever that means, there's another extension that some Rishonim said that layochal ima also means as follows. If you take a look at the page 15, Muffle number 5, middle of my Makkah number 5. So the last line in the Ramon, the first paragraph, the last line in the Ramon, the Makkah, Yesh Omrim, She'osalo lecho mishiure ma'achal shalom. Kamosha also lishtos mishiure koshala moshe zvar. Some Rishonim would be paying the quote from Rabbi Lezvi Mitz, if you read the Tam or Rabbi Tam, that not only is the couple not permitted to literally eat together, I mean, that means, but he is not permitted to eat from her leftovers. So she took a bite out of a piece of cake, and he wants to finish off the piece of cake. That would be a problem. That's also considered to be an achila ima. So even though this is not quoted per se in the Shulchan Aruch, a very strange thing, the Shulchan Aruch does quote this, but he only quotes it in the next paragraph, which is the quote from the Mechaber, Lo yishke mishire kosher shasahi. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Sefer Yireim, the same piece from the Sefer Yireim, but he only quotes it vis-a-vis drinking. That if she began to drink a cup of soda, then he wants to finish up that cup, so that would be a problem. So it's a very, very difficult Shulchan Aruch, because the Sefer Yireim says both. Actually, the source for the Sefer Yireim was the Lashon of the Gemara, Ochal Imi V'Shos Imi, which has the connotation, he claims as a connotation, not only to eat together as also, but even to continue left where she left off, would also be a problem. So it doesn't seem to be any difference between Achila Ima and Shtia Ima. So that's a strange thing in the Shulchan Aruch. But the Maisa, whatever the Shulchan Aruch held that the Issa Sabra only applies to drinks or not, the Maisa the Ramah writes it applies to both. So that's how minig is that they're not allowed to, eat together, but he can't eat her leftover foods and he can't drink her leftover drinks as well. However, in the second paragraph of page 15, then the Ramah begins to give some qualifications to this Issa. Unless somebody else ate or drank in between them. So if she takes a sip from the cup, and then the kid comes by and takes a sip from them, and then he drinks from the cup, so that's not considered to be eating her shirayim, that's permissible. Oh, then there are one adds on other Rishonim, say, Horak, because they'll cause achia, or if the food was transferred, so let's say the drink, they pour the, if he wants to drink a leftover drink, so he should pour it to another cup. So if he pours it to a different cup, that would be okay. But the separate foods also, if he takes the food and puts it onto another plate, then some of that would be all right as well. Even though, even if it goes back to the original cup, it's not like the Shabbos, the Rishon, the Shein, it's just to make a heck of it. It's just to make it recognizable that she was in need of. Shas, and then the Ramah continues on the second line of that second paragraph. If Shas Savahu Eno Yodea, wrote to Lishas because Shalom, Eno Tzuchla Gidlo Shlo Yishta. Let's say she was eating or drinking something, and he doesn't know. He walks in the middle. He didn't realize that this was her plate, this was her cup, and he starts to eat or drink it. So she doesn't have to correct him, she doesn't have to stop him. But he doesn't know, doesn't hurt him. This whole Gezeira is only. So again, this is not exactly what the Gemara says. The Gemara talks about achilu shtei ima, literally eating together at the same plate at the same table. This is the Sefer Yireim's chiddush that this is also included in that iser. So the Ramah says ad kedei kach, it's only yosser if he's aware of it. Whereas the other way around, that she's permitted to drink, eat and drink his leftovers. What if she drank a little bit from a cup and then she left? Then there are those who say he's permitted to drink her leftovers. Since she's not here, it would be alright. This is a throwback to the Gemara says. The Gemara says that these would be certain about chakas, but they only apply when the wife is there. So we didn't get to this yet. But the Gemara is going to talk about certain things that the wife is allowed to do or not allowed to do for the husband. and there may be a difference whether they're both present at the same time. So she's making the bed for him. So if he's standing there and watching, that's a hachacha. If he's not there and he comes later, that wouldn't be a hachacha. So the Ramah borrows that idea into this hachacha of the Sefer Reim as well. So the bottom line is that we have the Achilu Shtiyah Ima from last week. That was the Mishnah, that was the Fed, so that's for sure everybody agrees to. Whether the Isra of Achilu Shtiyah Ima refers to the same plate or the same table, or refers to the big table, little table, that was all of last week's discussion. Then we have the extension of Achilu Shtiyah Ima. That's the Chiddush of the Sefer Reim that included in this Achilu Shtiyah Ima is to eat and drink from our leftovers. But again, this Isra of eating and drinking from our leftovers is a little more lenient. And therefore, the Ramah says basically anything that you do that makes it obvious that we're doing things a little bit different, either somebody else drank in between, or was put into another clay, or she walked out, or he doesn't even know it's a leftover, any of the above coolers would be acceptable to be amount to this.
If a woman eats or drinks from it, it doesn't make it like chas hashalas.
Yeah.
Hours later, it's not where it is.
I mean, if she's still there, if she's still in the room.
She's still there, then it's still.
If she's still in the room. Yeah, move it to another clay or something. That'll be okay. Out of a cooler, chas hashalas.
Could he take her cup, whatever's left in the cup, and just pour it into his cup, sitting at the table together? That's fine. Okay.
Why does Hector help? I understand if also Kalo.
Because this is all to create a little bit of a distance. Because as long as it's clear, we're not in our regular part of the month, we're in a time where we have to be a little bit extra cautious. So all these things just create a mindset, that's all.
But nobody would say that when your meal starts, if one of the husband and wife declares, okay, I'm a Nida. So now there's a heker. I mean, we know that she's a Nida. That would help, I mean, because we're dealing with Chiva, not with.
But again, I wouldn't have a problem either. If the couple, you know, the two guys are sitting at the table, one's eating pizza, one's eating a hot dog, so they can't just get up and say, okay, I'm eating pizza, you're eating hot dog, let's make sure we don't touch it, you know, we don't touch each other's food. So Chazal instituted that it has to be something that you're sitting down and watching, and you see that this is going to separate us. So the Gemara doesn't talk about Heker by Hilfus Nita, the Gemara talks about Bas B'chalav, but the Gemara does compare the two. The Gemara talks about those two gazaves as being related to one another. So that's why we're showing the soon that we can compare them to. So sometimes you have a situation where these two aspects of Isser combine together. So last week we spoke about what's the din if a couple is eating together at the same table and there's somebody else in the room. Or if there's a child in the room, again, if the child's 1 year old, that's not going to help. If the child's old enough to understand, to be a little bit of prevention. So would that help or not? What's the din? Do all these Yisurim and Achila together, do they apply with other people around? So according to last week, that was Machlekes HaPoskim. So if we take a look at that, and back on page 15, it's still the fifth of the Ramakomos, it's the third paragraph of those Ramakomos. So first, the Pesach HaTshuva quotes Machlekes whether having other people around works or not. And then he points out that if it's three lines from the bottom, he writes about Bakara Achas Medina Yesh Lesor, the Fimash Kosav Ramah, Shaoslo Lechem Shuri Machel Shalah, Imkin Kisha Ochlim Bakara Achas, the Vade Ochem Shuri Machel Shalah, the Yevshal Yzola Dak, the Bezesh Yivsok of the Machem in a time. So the Pesach HaTshuva writes that even though there's Lechlekes HaPoskim, when having other people around work, that only works vis-a-vis the Yisra of Achila Ima, in the sense of eating at the same table. But if they're eating at the same plate, then for sure having somebody else around is not going to help. Why is that? Because if they're eating literally from the same plate, then inevitably he's eating her leftovers. That's Shukim Ashbo, he's eating her leftovers. So vis-a-vis the issue of eating leftovers, it doesn't help to have other people around. So even if you want to be making, which not everybody is, but even if you want to be making, that they can eat together at the same table, let's say at a restaurant, other people around, or in the house, the kids around, the guests around, that's okay. But if Mamish Shukim Ashbo wants to take a bite out of our food from our plate, that's going to be a problem. Unless you have all the other criteria before, that she left the room, or he doesn't know about it, or from this plea, whatever the case may be. So we can split almost in terms of that psak from this week, that do other people around help? Most probably yes, providing that they're not literally eating from the same plate. Eating from the same plate, you have to run into the second issue of shiurim machol. Because that was really the shiraim, no pun intended, that was the shiraim of last week. That didn't really mean that one of the shiraim of last week's in terms of the isser b'achila ima.
What if it's from a plate, we should take a bite from it? So let's say you're at a restaurant, and you want to take.
Yeah, that would be okay. That's all right. That's okay. Yeah. The Pesach also point out that Shirim Achal only means when it's mamish hard food. Let's say there's a serving dish. So there's a serving dish. The guy takes a, she takes a piece of chicken, so you can't take. She takes from a bowl of chulot, so you can't. No. Means if it's sitting in her bowl of chulot, and she eats after chulot, and you want to finish it, that would be Shirim Achal. If you're taking from the communal plate, a serving plate, that would not be a problem.
Same laws would apply in a restaurant?
Shirim Achal, yeah. Shirim Achal applies even to other people around.
The same table, when you go to the restaurant,
do
you need the hecker?
So that depends on, as long as they're not eating from the same plate, so I think one can be made with that. Less than the other people in the restaurant. Yeah. Some of them is a waitress in the restaurant. So stomach, yeah. Okay, so now we move on to the next set of harchakas. And the next set of harchakas have their roots in the Gemara itself. It's actually going back, I'll go back to page 13 for a minute, which was the source of any of the hachokas, was a story in Masechah Shabbos about the individual who unfortunately did not observe the hachokas properly. So the Gemara describes that he was careful to observe the hachokas during the times that she was literally a nida, but during the Shivan Kiyah he wasn't so careful, which of course is a big problem. So the Gemara tells the story of the 13th of the Ramakamos, back in the first of the Ramakamos, second paragraph. So the Gemara describes that what he did, so it's the second paragraph on page 13, the end of the second line, they asked his wife, how did he observe during the days of Libun, when we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, that the Shimon HaKiyama called Jimei Libun, either because he's supposed to literally be wearing white, or because he's supposed to be wearing clean and trying to make sure you're not bleeding. So wherever they called Jimei Libun, the Maisa, she still cannot be with him at that time. So what did you do during those days? And unfortunately, the answers that she gave were not very good. Ochalimi, he ate together with me, which again, which means either they ate together or he ate a leftovers, whatever that means. Shasaimi, he drank together with me. The Yashain imi bekiruv basar, and we slept together, in the same area, we were touching each other. For also daito davarecha, but we didn't do anything. We didn't do any aveiros, but we were yashain together. We slept together. Then the Gemara continues on to the second line from the bottom. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Omer, towards the very end of that line, Mita Chad Havoy. They slept in one bed. They weren't doing anything in the sense of physically wrong, but they were sleeping together in the same bed. But Ma Rava Amre in Eretz Yisrael, they had a little bit of a different version of the story. Amre Yitzhak by Yosef, Sina Masi Ben Ovidah. They had something separating them. There was an apron of scenery or something. There was a beggar on the bed separating between the two of them, but they were sleeping b'mit nechada. They were sleeping in the same bed, and that in and of itself was a problem. So it's based on this, that the Shulchan Aruch tells us, that there's no question that a couple of not permitted to sleep in the same bed, which is a nida, even if they're not touching each other whatsoever. That in and of itself is considered to be a harachacha. So if you take a look on the page 16 of the Maamar Kavos, so Shulchan Aruch in Maamar Mokom number 3, that they're not permitted to sleep in the same bed, right out of this Gemara Masechah Shabbos, even if they're fully dressed, and even though they're on different sides of the bed, they're not touching each other, that's an outright violation of Rachavos. And the Ramah adds on, even though each one has a separate mattress. So if you have two separate small mattresses on the same basic bed, that would be a problem. Then the Ramah calls to the Mordechai, an even extended chumrah of this, not only, like the Gemara says, they can't sleep in the same bed, and not only can they not sleep on two mattresses on the same bed, they can't even sleep on two beds if the two beds are touching one another. And what is that based on? But this is not in the Gemara itself. The fact that the beds are not two separate distinct beds can't be touching, that's not in the Gemara. That the Rishonim already get it on, that it's a little bit too close for comfort. It looks like it's one bed, it's going to lead to one bed, they're going to be next to each other. That's also considered to be off limits. So what exactly does it mean? How close is this? What does it mean? Shtemitos nogos ubezo. So the simple reading of the Ramah is that as long as the beds are not touching, it's okay. What does it mean not touching? Little, not touching. There's a little bit of a break between the beds. So according to the simple reading of the Ramah, that would be okay. So the later post came added on that it should be a little bit more than just microscopic, looking to see, it's not like the two letters of the same term. You can find a little bit of a break between it, it's okay. It should be clear that the two beds are not touching. How clear is clear? So different posts can give different eitzes. It's hard to say this is pure halacha, because again, the Medina of the Gemara, the issue is really only when the beds are, it's mamash one bed. Then the Mordechai added on the two beds that are touching each other. So now, how far is considered to be far enough? So again, different posts have different quote-unquote shiurim, how to measure this. Usually when I tell people the easiest way to measure this is with Samach Aharonim, right, the following lashon. We call it the rolling test. Namely, when you roll off your bed, where will you end up? If you roll off your bed, you'll end up in the next bed, so then that's a little bit too close to comfort. If you roll off your bed and you end up on the floor, then you know that you're far enough away. So I can't give you a shir in tefachim. You have to sit in bed, it's not a bit of lovud, it's not a chasukah, it's not a kol boker shir. Common sense, you're in your bed and you see that I've rolled off, I won't end up comfortably in the other bed, I'll end up probably on the floor, so that would be okay. So why don't you try to be careful about this? This sometimes comes up with babies. Sometimes a woman is nursing all the night, she brings the baby to her bed, and so sometimes people get very nervous about this because the beds are separate from one another, so the baby will roll off. So be careful about this. Either let the husband go sleep in another room, if you want to put the beds near each other, or just be, Seichel Yosha dictates, just be smart enough to do it in a way that's safe, that Chalil, the baby, shouldn't get hurt in the process. But again, the basic halacha is that the two beds should not only be, not one bed, it shouldn't even be touching, and even not just literally touching, but even too close would be a problem as well. The Falskim discussed the intricacies of what's considered to be two beds, what's considered to be one bed. If you take a look at page 16, so the Badi Shulchan has a whole discussion about this. In Oser Amitos, in Maramachim number 4, Shulchan has a modern day application of the Shaila. Even if you sleep in two beds, and the two beds are touching one another, that's a problem. If you have a double bed, I think they call these bunk beds, if I'm not mistaken. So if you have a bunk bed, what's it in? Yeshlachkar. Yeshlach is usually reserved for like a chakir. He just means let's investigate. Doesn't mean a chakir, like a chayim. How should we view the bunk beds? Im rashayim lishan kein be'ez nidusa. Can you have a husband and wife share a bunk bed? They're away, and this is where they place them in a bunk bed. What's the din? For lachari yesh liyosra. He says lachari should be yosra. Midin beiz mitas hanoga zubazu. Because at the end of the day, even though it's clearly two beds, but the beds are touching. So since they're touching one another, it's like the Mordechai, it's like the Rama says, that that's also a problem. Shebevua kam yisar. Amdam. It's not so simple. But the Pesach Tshuva writes, why is it that the two beds can't be touching? Where does that come from? So there's some Achmarim right. It's almost like a Marzain a little bit. You walk into the room and you see there are two beds so that are touching one another. As long as you can't tell, there's a blanket over both. You can't tell whether it's one bed or two beds. So that svara won't apply to a bunk bed. You walk into a room and you say, ooh, that's one bed. Everyone's going to realize that's a bunk bed. So I don't know, it's hard, it's very, very hard to say svaras in these kinds of things. So the ikra din in the Gemara is the isra is only with the mamash in the same bed. Then we're extending that to beds that are touching one another. Now we're clearing a chaya, shal chakira, whether that applies to bunk beds also. I don't know. The answer to these things, I'm not sure. In all my years of marriage, we had a shadow one time. So one time we were rubbing the mountains by some camp for Shabbos, and the room, the grandiose accommodations that we got for Shabbos was a bunk bed. So in those kinds of things, usually the halacha is the husband sleeps on the floor. That's the general take in these kinds of situations. The first thing talk about, Rabbi Yosef talks about high rises. The high rises are a problem. That's it depends. Yesh v'yesh. Sometimes they're attached, sometimes they're not attached. So if they're attached, they meet the sanugah step is there. If they're not attached, so then you're great. So if you have if you happen to be staying in a place in Shabbos that's attached, then make them unattached. So you separate them and you roll them away. Hopefully there's enough room to roll away a little bit, and that should be okay. Within the realm of bed, this issue of sleeping in the same bed, touching bed, all these different scenarios. So there's another din that appears in Shulchan Aruch. There's actually a big question where this even came from. If you take a look back on the 15th of Maamar, back to the beginning for a moment, back on the 15th of the Maamar Kamos. So when the Shir begins with Shara Chakos by CD 33, so the Magid Mishnah quotes from Rashba, quotes from Haigon. This goes back to Haigon. We're talking about before the year 1000. Talking about over 1000 years ago. The following in Chiddush. Because of a Rashba, Zamadivir Rabbein Haigon Zal. She also lishen on the Tosa, afilu eina ima b'mita. That a husband is not allowed to sleep on his wife's bed, even though she's not there. Now, up until now, we said that he can't sleep in the same bed when she's there. But now we're talking about him sleeping on her bed if she's sleeping somewhere else, when she's not around. That's also a problem. Where does that come from? It says the Lagi Mishnah, the Nirin Advar, the basis for this is, Shafilu Atzos Amita B'fana Osir B'fana Hergala Veira. So the Gemara says, we didn't get to this yet, the Gemara says in the Sefes Ksubis that there are certain malachas, there are certain jobs, certain household jobs, that it's understood the woman's going to do for the husband. The Mishnah tells us in the Sefes Ksubis when a couple gets married, so there's an agreement on many, many different levels, also on a financial level, that he's going to support her, it's understood, he's going to work, he's going to support her, and she's going to do certain things in the home as well. So she's going to cook, she's going to make the bed, she's going to things, whatever other things that she's going to do. If the couple decides that they want to make another kind of an agreement, do whatever they want. But if all else is equal, so then it's understood that he's going to support her and she's going to work, do things in the home. So one of the things that she has to do is she has to make the beds. So the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubis that she has to be careful when she's in Nida, that she shouldn't make the bed in front of him. She's going to pop up his bed, she's going to make nice his mat, his sheets, his pillows, his blankets right in front of him. So that's going to lead to the Dehirur, and that may lead to something wrong. So the Rav Haigon said, Rashman Magen Mishnah say, that Chazal was concerned that she's fluffing up his pillow, so that could lead to the Dehirur. So he goes to sleep in her bed, so how much more so that could lead to the Dehirur? And therefore, the Hergel Aveira, he shouldn't do that. So again, this doesn't appear in the Gemara itself. It's from the Gaonim, from the Rishonim. This didn't make it to Shulchan Aruch. So we follow this practice that one should not be sleeping on her bed. Then the Poskim extend this a little bit further. Not only should he not be sitting on the bed, if she has a chair that's mamish miyuchad for her, this is her chair, this is her leaning back reclining chair, so the same thing, he shouldn't be sitting directly on that also when she's in Ida. Again, that part usually doesn't happen as much. Most of us don't have the chairs that are miyuchad for one another in our homes. So that's not so common in terms of the bed. So also the post can point out, it applies to mamish her bed, the couch. It's her couch. Couch in our house, whichever kid gets there first is the one who gets it, and then the fight breaks out. Whose couch is it tonight? So that's not really included in this, but it's mamish miyuchad, it's our bed, and then he really shouldn't be sleeping on it, shouldn't be sitting on it at the time when she's in Ida. As a possible extension of this, and this is even a question about what this is based on, this is something that appears in some Rishonim, but in the 15th page of my Mokom number 2. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Yeshiv mita miucheres lafil shlop fanel," that he shouldn't sit in her bed if it's designated for her, even if she's not there. Hagav also leishiv al salsa aruch shabis nadnedes ve'ena mechuberes to kozel kishte ish tonida yeshivas alav. So this is what's called in the post with salsa hamis nadned, that the two of them should not be sitting together on the same bench if the bench is moving when she is in Nida. The question is, where did this come from? What's the source for this? So it's unclear exactly what this is based on. The source that's quoted is to Mordechai, and it's Rashi, and it's Sefer Aguda, and Trumas Hadeshen. The common denominator between all of those who show that I just quoted is that they were all Ashkenazim. And this is an Ashkenazi Chumash. The Sfaradim don't even, never heard of it. They've heard of it, but they don't accept it. The Beis Yosef quotes this from the Ashkenazi Rishonim, who had this practice of not sitting together on a Safsal Ha Misnatneid. And the Beis Yosef writes that we don't really know what this is based on, and we don't have this practice. In our communities, we don't follow this, but the Ashkenazi communities we do. And we assume that this is a problem. Safsalam Snadeid is problematic. What's it based on? Based on who? Based on who? They're just sitting, they're sleeping, what's going on? So there are different opinions what this is based on. So there are some who say that this is an extension of the whole bed story. That this is considered to be almost like they're sitting in the same chair, sleeping on the same bed, something extension of that, Salsam Snadneid. And there are others who say that no, that this is closer to some of the achakas that we spoke about earlier, that they shouldn't be touching one another. And that we learned that not only they're not allowed to touch one another, they're not supposed to touch even their shlobdechibazosar, that's what the Gemara explicitly, even their clothing are not permitted to touch. Let's say they get stuck somewhere and they're sitting right next to each other and only their clothing are touching. Why don't you try to avoid that also? So any kind of physical contact between the two is a problem. Some say when you're sitting on the safsalam, it's not made by its very nature that it's moving. It means when I'm pushing my weight on, so that's causing you to move. When you're pushing, you're always causing me to move. And that's considered to be a lot like we're touching one another. That's not like this in the Pasuk in Shulchan Aruch. Where this chumri even came from, what's it based on? Is this part of the sleeping saga? Is this part of the touching saga? So we're not quite sure what this is based on, but the Ashkenazi communities have accepted it, and therefore that's what our custom is. So we should be careful not to be in the safsalam isnadne. The question is, what do they mean? What do the words, what is included in the safsalam isnadne altogether? So the Ramah, back to that, page 15, on the second of the Maamar Kamos. So the Ramah writes again in the top line, but oscillation or safsal or rochim, it's a very long safsal, so they're not literally physically touching one another. The edim kubers the kosel, if it's not built into the wall, we'll see why a little bit later why that's important. So kishe ishto nidi yoshev is alof. Yesh batirim, there are those who permit it, kishe adam echan mafsik v'yeshi b'neim. If somebody else is in between them, so then that would be okay. V'chein lo yelech im ishto be'agola achas o besvina achas. Then the Ramah begins to say that similarly, a couple shouldn't go in the same wagon, they shouldn't go in the same boat, which is considered to be a need. The question is, what was that, the chain exactly? What was the Ramah talking about exactly? So there are some Acharon who reach on the Ramah, that the Ramah is describing an extension of Safsalam Snadeh. First he told you that they're not allowed to be on a Safsalam Snadeh when it's just... It's going swinging. And then he says, and even though it's moving, it's in a wagon or it's in a boat, that would be a problem as well. So the question is, if that's what the Ramah meant, what would the ramifications of that statement mean for us as Manazeh? So the good news is Ramah says, no ramifications. Why Ramah said, they asked Ramah, said, according to this Ramah, a couple can't go in the same car. They can't go in the same car together. Or at least in the same seat, you know, in the same front. So Ramah says, he doesn't think it's the same thing. Why? Says that the cases that the Ramah is talking about are things where every movement of mine causes a movement of yours. We're talking about a Svina Achas. It's not exactly talking about the Queen Elizabeth. It's not talking about a major ocean liner. It's talking about a rowboat. So he says those who have ever gone rowboating up in camp know that if you move to one inch of the boat, so then the whole tip the, you know, tips the whole boat over. It means each person's movement clearly affects the other person. Or if you're Ba'agol Achas, you're in a horse and buggy, and the two of you, and you give a little bit of a movement, and it forces the other person to move also. So maybe that's considered to be a problem. That's called an extension of Safsalam Isnadne. But Moshe writes, you're in a car. So the car's zooming down the highway at 60 miles an hour. So the fact that your wife is in the seat next to you, said, well, I don't have to do anything. So that doesn't, her movement doesn't affect you, your movement doesn't affect her. You're pressing the gas. She doesn't matter who's driving the car. That's not called the Safsalam Isnadne.
What about sitting in like a taxi in the back when like it's like one like bed?
Yes, yeah, so Rabbi should make a medal. Yeah, he's making a medal. So that's not really, and that's not mamish standing together. So that the Yeshua. So again, so the Ramah got scared of this Ramah for a minute, but he started extending the stuff. So again, despite him, they would be davening shachris. They've never heard of this. They said, so we don't follow this. But the Ashkenazim will follow this practice, so they can read a little bit easier, that it probably doesn't apply in a lot of our kinds of situations. However, sometimes it does apply. Let's say to sit mamish together on the same couch. I think the difference is whether they're sitting on the same pillow or not. If they're sitting on two separate pillows on the couch, that's okay. The mom's sitting on the same pillow. It's like, what's that? I sit down, so the pillow moves, so that probably should be avoided. There are safsalam isnadne. Sometimes you have the swinging benches, the safsalam isnadne go to Mazel. So those kinds of things would be problematic. Then the Ramah continues, and it's a little unclear what the Ramah's talking about. So first the Ramah said, you can't sit in the safsalam isnadne. Then the Ramah says, you can't sit in the Gala Achas Svina Achas. And then he says, Im Holech Rak Derech Tiyul, Gugon Liganos, Upardesim Bechayotzi Bezeh. Aval Im Holech Meir Leir Litzrachav, Mutter, Af Apishu V'ishtohem L'Padon, V'vach Yesh V'derech Ligozeh Bezeh. So then the Ramah says, well, it depends what they're going for. If they're going on a Tiyul, they're going literally just to take a nice walk, Liganos, Upardesim, they're going to walk in the gardens, going to walk in the orchards, so then it's a problem. But if they're going for business, they're going to work together, they're going to school together, so then it's okay. So the question is, what is okay? What did the Ramah just say, and what did he not say? So it's very unclear, because the Ramah started out talking about Safsalms Natnez, and then he jumps immediately to walking in the gardens. So there are different opinions in the post from what the Ramah was talking about. So some were very make, some say, what the Ramah just did is, he told us that the Is of Safsalms Natnez only applies when it's done in a leisurely, you know, enjoyable fashion. If you have to be in a Safsalms Natnez, you have to be in a boat, you have to be on a agvela to get to work, that is okay. That's the cooler version of reading the Ramah. But many folks can say that's not what the Ramah meant. What the Ramah meant is as follows. That's an issur of itself, either because you get a touch, because you get a day, whatever the reasons are. Then there's another issur that Ramah's talking about. Just the going in the gardens is a problem. Just the going in the orchards is a problem. Just the holich derech tiul is a problem. Just down for the couple, no one's sitting together, no one's in the same bench, no one's in the same boat, no one's in the same wagon. They're taking a walk together. So the Ramah's saying it depends where the walk is. If the walk is derech tiul, on the goddess of pradesim, that is an independent problem. If it's just, they're going for a walk because they have to get to work together, that's they can't wait for a bus, they have to walk to work together, so that's okay. So if that's the pshat of the Ramah, many achronim learn pshat of the Ramah, then the Ramah just threw a whole lot of curveball at us. He just said, forget about touching, forget about the same bed, forget about the same clothes, same chairs, forget about the same benches, forget about the food. There's a new independent issur of achrochas, derech tiul. Stav the couple to be just spatzering together, that in of itself is potentially problematic. Now again, if that's the pshat of the Ramah, notice the two cases that the Ramah gave. Leganas of pardesim. What do ganas of pardesim v'chayyotzim say? What do those two things have in common? So I think a few factors and a few important characteristics. Number one, the areas that not so many people are around, they're a little bit more remote areas. And number two, they're very pretty areas, and they're nice romantic areas, and they're areas that are conducive to things that are not appropriate. Which leads us to believe that what if you're not in a goddess of pardesim, you're walking up Newbridge Road, you're going to take a walk together. So it's Friday night afternoon, you're going to take a walk. So even if, let's say, there aren't a lot of people around, but that's not a goddess of pradesim, that's not a nice romantic kind of a walk, that's like an exercise walk. So the post can make them that. The post can say that this is the Ramah's referring to, is only if it's derech tiul, it's derech, you know, a more of a romantic kind of a walk in a romantic type of place, that would be a problem. So the post can point out that a couple, when they plan vacation, should try to take this Ramah into consideration. One should try to plan a vacation accordingly. It should be preferably when the woman is muteris. If for whatever reason happens, you plan a vacation and it messes up, and she ends up to be asura, so then what kind of activities can you do and what can you not do? So what's continued to be derech tiul and whatnot? So I remember I asked Rabbi Gulick about this years ago, and he gave me the following hagdor, boundaries. He said that you have to ask yourself, would I do this kind of a trip with my roommate, my male roommate? So he said, would I go to Disneyland with my roommate? The answer is yes. Would I go to the museum? I'm going to go to the museum with my roommate. Would I go on this trip with a roommate? That's okay. But if it's something, I take a walk on the beach, so then you don't do that with your wife. So those are the kinds of things that one shouldn't do. I wouldn't recommend going to Disneyland when the woman is needed for other reasons, because you can't stay in the same car in the same each ride. So amusement parks are probably not the best idea to go to when the woman is in either, because unless you're going to take two different rides, because you're inevitably, I'm not sure what's Safsal, you can be on the same ride but not in the same car. I wouldn't call it Safsal, it's not made, but I would say it's no game, mamish, literally touching one another, especially the rides that gravity pushes you in one direction. So I would say those rides are not such a good idea. But in terms of other kinds of trips, let's say the couple is planning a vacation, and now it ends up she gets a referiant, so if they want to go to the museums, that's okay. They want to go to do things that they would do as friends, not necessarily as husband and wife, so those are okay. But other kinds of things, which are derech tiul, go and go for days for yetzibah zeh, so those would be problematic. Again, so we have a few different hachachas that we've been touching on today. We started off from the end of the machal mishta hachachas, then we moved to the ver hachachas with all the different nuances of the ver hachachas, and now we have the safsal snadeh, which may be part related to the ver hachachas, maybe part of the older hachachas of touching one another, and then you have this added nuance of the Ramah of the holach derech tiul, which next year, so we'll try to put all the final questions, but we'll try to get a little bit further, just in terms of schedule.